Hey, this is Pastor Chris Arno from Relevant Church, and you're listening to ELC Radio.
God is going to cause you to change, and he's going to cause you to take your promised land, but you got to quit looking for a get-rich-quick scheme. Come on, somebody. God is thinking peace of you and not evil. That when he thinks about your life, he's not mad at you. The strongest people are people that understand togetherness. All throughout your life, you're on this journey to go from me to we.
Love God. Lift others. Life Church.
Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
Looking for a reason, roaming through the night to find my place.
Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 17, 13 through 18. And when you are done doing that, look at your neighbor and say, don't you just love our pastor? I had to get some love in the room right there, amen. Because I got a tough job sometimes. My job is to push you towards Christ. My job is to push you towards your destiny and what you're created for. And when people sometimes are used to following the flesh, I become the enemy. And I'm not the enemy. I'm the agent that God has sent to help you get into your promised land. Amen? Amen. You know, it didn't feel good when Joshua you know the story. I mean, let me get into that. When he had to take care of those men and say, hey, we got to cut covenant right here. But it was that allowed them to cross over. And so I'm excited about this series that we're doing because I don't see it as just a series of teaching that I'm trying to teach you things so you could file it away under information. I believe that the Word of God is living and powerful. And what that means is this: the Word of God is alive. It discerns the seasons we're in. And if you pay attention, it acts as a prophetic word that guides you into your destiny. So when you come here, it's not just you coming to listen to some stuff that I studied and thought, hey, this would be good to teach to the people. No, it's the result of me getting before God and saying, what are you saying now to the people? And so when people align themselves with God's word, things change. Atmospheres shift. Things line up with what you need to do what God's called you to do. But this is why the Bible says this, that the traditions of men make the word of no effect. And what that basically means is this: some of us have a way we go to church. We still come to church like we're in the Catholic Church or the Baptist Church or the Lutheran Church. Nothing against those denominations and my brothers and sisters there. But here's how those people go to church. They go to church to do their godly thing and then return back to their old ways 6 days out of the seven. So they come to church, they think they get the brownie points, they think, well, we made God happy, they think I did my deal, now I can just go do my stuff. But when you enter and you come to a church like this where we're trying to drop revelation in your heart and that's your only expectation, you don't leave changed. And that's why Jesus said this: let those that have an ear hear what the Spirit is saying. My prayer for you is this, that your ears of the Spirit are open, because what God is trying to do is give you something that you're going to need this week. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. So let's look at our text here as we're talking about in this series, In It But Not Of It. John 17, 13 through 18 says this. Jesus said, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they, talking about us, may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, that's us, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world. That means this, when you allow the word of God to come into your heart, you start living by it, the system of the world is not going to like you. Let's keep going. And the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. But I don't pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world, but sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning that your word is powerful. And Lord, as I hold this mic and as I use this gift to preach and teach, I ask that you would come into the room and that you would use my faculties, Lord God, to communicate into the hearts of those that can hear what you're communicating and what you want to say. Father, we just ask right now that you would cause us to have a deeper understanding of who we are and whose we are as we walk through this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So if you didn't hear last week, I want to encourage you to get on the podcast or get on the app and listen to those things because we're building something here. And what we're building is a successful way to navigate this world. Because if you did not know, this world will kick your rear end. This world has a way of putting people through it. And if you don't believe me, I know everybody knows what I'm talking about, because the world will take a family, chew it up, and spit it out. The world can take a loving relationship between a woman and a man, chew it up, and crush it and throw it out. And some of you have experienced that. The world can take a nice young boy who's been raised in a Christian home, feed him lies, and then mess up his life. You and I have both seen it. This world is tough. But Jesus says this, understand that you and I are not of this world. We're not of this world. I took a long time, I'm not going to review last week, but I gave you a bunch of scriptures last week about what Jesus is talking about. Because see, the problem with most Christians, they don't know who they are or whose they are or where they come from. You don't come from the neighborhood you grew up in. You don't come from the race or ethnicity that you grew up. You come from heaven. Look at 1 John 4:4. We talked about it last week. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Here it is, because he who is in you is greater than he who's in the world. He who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Can I get an amen? Amen. See, some of the churches we grew up in, man, we didn't teach it right. Because, see, one of the things Jesus told us in John 17 is this. My prayer is not to take you out of the world, but to keep you in there and give you protection against the evil one. There's a generation of Christians and churches that their whole thing was, let's come together on Sundays and Wednesdays and Tuesdays for prayer. Come on. And Friday nights for the holiness. Come on. And let's get everybody together because the world is a bad place. And let's not watch TV, let's not go to the movies, let's pull our kids out of public school and let's put them in Christian schools, or better yet, let's homeschool them, and I'm not against any of those things, but hear what I'm saying, and let's take ourselves out of the world and let's now create this bubble called the church. And Jesus says, no, that's not what I want you to do. My prayer is not that you leave the world. My prayer is that you resist the evil one. How do we resist the evil one? It comes through revelation. See, some of you young people, you playing footsies with the devil. Amen? Yeah, don't amen me, but you know it's true. You come to church, you know what's right, but you still under the table, you know, you playing footsies with that dude. How many remember playing footsies? Oh, some of you, oh, I see that smile on your face. Hey, you know. You're at the table and you're flirting with your foot. Amen? What's that about? But what is it? It's keeping closeness with something that you have no business being close with. And here's the thing. We don't know who we are. We don't know whose we are. And we don't know who we serve. When you understand who you serve, you don't have to fear temptation. You don't have to fear the world. You don't have to fear what anybody else has. But you better get to know the God that you serve. And here's the thing. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We don't have to fear the world. We don't have to be afraid of it. We don't have to throw out our televisions. Come on, somebody. Amen. Some of you might need to, because what you're watching on there. We don't have to say computers of the devil. The internet's of the devil. We can't use it. No, no computers in my house. You don't need to do that, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But you better get to know the God that's in you. Let's keep going. So that's what the scriptures say there. So 1 John 5:19. Do you have that one there? 1 John 5:19. Look at this one here. It says this: we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Some of y'all need to get in Christ. You got to get in Christ. Hide yourself in Christ. How many know this isn't a game? Come on, let's keep going. John 18:36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Now, when you go on and you read about what Jesus teaches, he makes no mistakes to say there are two kingdoms. There's two kingdoms. Some of you have not yet learned that the kingdom that you belong in is the kingdom of God, because some of you still operate in the kingdom of darkness. Smile at me this morning, amen? I'm not telling you this to make you feel bad. I'm trying to tell you, you got to make some changes so that you live in the kingdom of light, okay? So look at Philippians 3:17-21. It says, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Let me just stop this right here. You know what the Apostle Paul is telling the early church? You got to follow somebody. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you got to follow somebody. You got to follow somebody, okay? You don't get to do this thing on your own. Tell your neighbor, you can't do it alone. You got to follow somebody. We got too many people that go to church on Sunday and they think that's enough. That's it. I went to church. No. You got to follow somebody. Look what it says. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Guys, this is why we don't let anybody up on our platform. This is why these praise and worship people up here, they have to follow a pattern of living. This is why our youth leaders, did you know some people want to serve with the youth? And we're not trying to be mean. We just say, you know what? Maybe it's not time yet. Because there has to be a pattern. And we've had people get mad at us before. Why can't I do it? That's because you ain't following the pattern. Handle that stuff and then walk with us. And then people will follow you. Can I get a good strong amen? Amen. I've told people before, you ain't ready to come on a missions trip. You want to know why? Because it's about a pattern. And if you ain't following the pattern, if you ain't following the pattern, you can't help nobody. Guys, this is why we do discipleship in this church. Because you got to follow somebody. Tell your neighbor, you got to follow somebody. And if you've been through discipleship, let me ask you this. Are you still following the pattern? Because some of us ain't. Some of us ain't. You left the pattern. But just an easy fix. You know what you got to do now? Get back on the pattern. You want to know what the pattern is? Watch my life. Watch my wife's life. Watch my staff's life. Watch the life of people on this stage or people that are department heads. Now, people that are department heads, are you following the pattern? Or when you're out there, you're like, man, mother, beep, 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 and I don't give a beep. And when the Raiders lose, do you get online and start cussing and boop, boop? And when the Niners, woo, you ain't following the pattern. And see, you think it doesn't affect anybody else. But now what you've just done is you've affected everybody that's supposed to be following you. Are you guys seeing this? So here's the thing. This is why we have discipleship. This is why if you're in a department and you're head of that department, follow the pattern. And this is why we've got so many Christians that, as the Bible calls them, are good for nothing but to be trampled over by the feet of the world. They're good for nothing. Because here it is, they refuse to follow a pattern. It's just me and Jesus. No, you can't show me that scripture. It's never you and Jesus. It's Jesus in the church. Always. Always. The term personal relationship with Jesus does not exist in the Bible. Now, I get it. I believe in it. But it's not a concept from the scriptures. The concept in the scriptures is always community. It's always. We are called the bride of Christ. We've mentioned so many times through the scriptures we just read, you got to be in Christ. And now Paul is telling the church, brethren, join in following my example. The reason why some of our lives don't change, you ain't following nobody. Why don't we follow people? We're proud. Why don't we follow people? We don't want them to know what we're doing. And this is why, church, we got to be the church in South Sac, one of the churches that says you could come in here with anything and we're going to love you. I've heard it all, seen it all. You ain't going to shock me. Believe me, I've seen, heard it, been there. We can work through whatever because grace is that amazing. It's that amazing. But you know what kills people and keeps them from following? Gossip. You want to get under my wife and I's skin, I'll tell you what, let me hear your gossiping. And that is a spirit we do not tolerate in here. Amen. You do not talk about other folk. Amen? Amen? You better tell your neighbor right now, he's serious. Save that drama for your mama. You've been watching too many novellas. You think life is like that. No, 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 no. Listen, we don't gossip about folks. When somebody's struggling, we cover them. Do you know the Bible says this? that grace covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. And if you gossiping about folks, ooh, God takes that serious. Let's keep going here. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now I tell you this even weeping. Listen to this, guys. They're the enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul is writing this letter in tears. And he's telling the church this. You got to follow. Follow my example. Follow people who are doing and following the pattern. But there's many of you guys who now you've made yourselves the enemy of the Christ, of the cross. Some of us in this church have done this. Every time you go to posting that you're at a club, or you getting drunk, holding up your Modelo. Can I just talk to you? Can we have a family meeting today? Let me tell you as a father here what that does to me, okay? I'm trying to get folks out of darkness. And you leading them back. With your little, I ain't doing nothing wrong. Well, you ain't doing nothing right either. Now, I can't control, and nor do I want to control, what you do in the privacy of your own home. You want to have a drink in your own home, do so. But when you get online as a member of this house, as a born-again believer, and you out there doing your deal and promoting darkness. See, 2 years ago, I buried my cousin who was an alcoholic. And even when he came into the church, he would always find somebody that would drink with him. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was with so-and-so. Oh, you were? I'd get all excited. Good, man. Would you guys? Oh, we went and had a drink. I'd be like, man. I wanted to go over and beat that. I want to lay hands on that person right there. Because there's supposed to be a pattern that we follow to lead people to Jesus. And now that you're free, you're leaving the pattern because I don't see nothing wrong. Okay, R. Kelly. I don't see nothing wrong. I ain't doing nothing. I wasn't getting drunk. I was just, you know, having a little drink. Have your little drink. But what are you promoting? Follow the pattern and quit being rebellious. I'm over here. Half of this church is trying to lay down their life to win people from darkness. And you're going to be that one that's going to misrepresent the house, misrepresent Christ. See, when Jesus came, he called the Pharisees out and he says, man, your disciples are twice as bad as you because they weren't following the pattern. Paul's saying the same thing. For many walk of whom I told you often and now tell you even weeping. He said, man, this hurts to tell you this. But they're enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So Paul is writing a warning, y'all, and he's saying, remember whose you are. Follow the pattern and don't become an enemy of the cross in your rebellion following the wrong people. So it's basically saying, following the wrong people. How do I know if I'm the wrong person, Pastor? What do you promote? Well, I'm just having fun. Have fun. But when it comes to promoting, promote Jesus. Like I said, we can't control what you do in the privacy of your own home. If you want to have a drink, have a drink. I can't control that, and nor do I want to. Please. I got my own life I got to manage. I got my own five people in the house that I'm trying to keep sober. Keep off of weed and pills, and I'll stop right there. But you get the message. I got my own. We're trying to do it on our own. And believe me, we got to fight those battles. We got to have those talks. We got to stay up on that kind of stuff. So I'm not trying to be the police here, but what I want to see is I want to see a church that wants to win souls and make disciples. What I want to see is people that will lay down their life with us for the cause of Christ. And if that means I don't have no more Modelo, come on, somebody. Corona, whatever your poison is. Got real quiet in this Baptist church. Then, hey, let's go. Let's go. We that church. But if you want to be Wilderness Christian Center, I go to the club, but I ain't doing nothing wrong. Yeah, this ain't that place. I ain't that pastor. But if you want to follow the pattern, listen, follow it. If you want to be a leader in this house, follow the pattern. If you want to know how to follow Christ, I could tell you, follow Jesse, follow Jessica, follow Mita, follow Rebecca. Come on, follow Eddie Cobb. Come on, follow the twins. Come on. That's who I should be. Follow Eddie Sr. in the back. Follow the Zimbados. Follow the Gutierrez's. Follow the Aguilars. You know what I'm saying? The pattern. As some of you, we poured our lives in, but you've gotten away from the pattern. You need to get back up on that pattern. Give me a good strong amen. 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 Tell your neighbor, Pastor loves you. Just keep going. So what do we got to do? I'm going to let you go in a little bit. I got some time here. So this is what I want to hit on today. We've got to reject the world and embrace the new creation. We got to reject it. Let me put it to you like this. We got to divorce the world and embrace the new love of your life, which is Jesus. That's what it comes down to. Amen. We got to break up with the world. How many know when you break up, you got to break up? Anybody ever had them weak breakups? Well, we're not together, but, you know. Is that your girl? No. It's not your girl. I see you with her all the time. Yeah, but we're not together. That's a fake breakup. How many ever had one of them before? You know what that breakup is about? No commitment, but I'm still going to take from you. I won't commit to you, but I'm going to take what you let me take. Christians do this with the world all the time. I'm telling you, it's got to stop if you're crossing over with us. If your life's going to get better, you got to break up with that thing. Amen? You got to know whose you are, who you are, and quit crying about it. Pastor, I just don't know why. How come? Why can't? It's okay. The herb is from the earth. Let's keep going. Look at Daniel chapter 1, 3 and 8. This is what I want to hit on as I let you go today. The book of Daniel is an amazing book, and it's an example of how to dominate the system of the world by living for God. The incredible thing about the kingdom of God is it's greater than every other kingdom. I've traveled around the world, and I can say this, the gospel that I preach works everywhere. I don't preach a churchy gospel, because churchy gospel, it don't work everywhere. If you just gonna preach and get people worked up, they ain't feeling that in Malaysia. They're not feeling that in India. They're not feeling that in some of them villages in the Philippines. But when you preach truth and not just hype and not just emotion, it works everywhere. I had one guy tell me, I was talking to an inmate one time, and you know, and he had just got locked up, and you know, and I was going to visit him, and I said, hey man, don't forget whose you are and where you come from. He goes, yeah, Pastor, but it's different in here. I said, what do you mean? He goes, I know what the Bible says, but I can't live by that if I'm going to survive here. I said, I beg to differ. He looked at me like, well, you don't know what it's like. I said, I know the kingdom works wherever you work it. Yeah, but if I do what Jesus said here, I'm going to get shanked. I said, no, you won't. I said, because God always backs up his word. The kingdom works everywhere. And so the book of Daniel demonstrates that. So look what it says here. Daniel chapter 1, verse 3. It says, then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles and the young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace and whom they might teach the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. Here's what's happening. The king of Babylon, which represents the world system, is coming into Israel and he's taking all the best of the best. The best looking, the smartest, the most educated, the most gifted, and he brings them into captivity. And they begin to teach them the ways of their culture. Then it says this, and the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies, of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of the time they might serve before the king. Now, from among those tribes of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. And to them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. What's happening here? The people of God are now brought into the world. Now you got to understand the context of this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, Israel was just a small nation. Babylon was an amazing place. Babylon had the greatest technology of the day, the greatest business practices, the greatest systems in the world. It would have been the equivalent of taking somebody from backwoods Kentucky and dropping them in the center of Times Square, or dropping them in the center of Silicon Valley. That's what it was for these guys. Talk about intimidating. They didn't know the culture. They were around millionaires, around kings, around entrepreneurs. They were around all this intimidating stuff, and they're just farm boys brought before the king. The king says, this is what you're going to eat, this is what you're going to drink, and this is what you're going to learn. And Daniel had the audacity to said, respectfully, nah, not me. Because what is it represented when we talk about food? I say this to you all the time. Whenever you see talking about food, it speaks of the doctrine. What are you eating? The doctrine. And so Daniel said this, I'm not going to eat your doctrine. Your ways. Are you catching this today? I wish I could get a church that would stand in the against the world and say, we ain't gonna do things like you do it. I wish I could get some single people that would say, we ain't gonna date like you say. We ain't gonna do marriage like you say. We ain't gonna raise our kids like you say. That's what Daniel did. And Daniel looked around. He wasn't intimidated. He wasn't, you know, feeling all sad. Well, everybody's doing it. I'm the only one that's not gonna eat the steaks. Come on, young person, feeling sorry for yourself, apologizing for having to serve. It's hard. Listen, you better toughen up, Buttercup. Amen. You got to get up on this thing because there's something at stake. So Daniel faces the greatest technology, the greatest education of the day, and him and his three friends say, nah, we ain't doing it, respectfully. And the Bible goes on to say he had favor with the temple guard there. And he said, hey, listen, this is what we're going to do. Could you not give me that stuff and only give me vegetables? I'm not going to eat the king's delicacies. I'm not going to drink his wine. So could you save that for somebody else and only bring me these things? And the Bible says this, that the guy gave him favor. He goes, listen, if they notice that you're too skinny or you ain't looking right because you're not eating these things, I'm going to get in trouble. And Daniel does this. You got to catch this. Daniel does this. You watch what God is going to do for me by not eating your meats. I'm going to be the best looking. I'm going to be the strongest because I'm obeying God. I wish we could get a church full of people that would do that. Some of us are afraid of obeying God because you don't think he'll come through for you. You don't think he'll come through for you. And so we compromise. We start doing things like the world. We start following the world's advice. We start listening to the world because we really don't trust this God who we say we serve. Thank God Daniel wasn't like that. He put it out there. He said, come back in a month, I'll be stronger, better looking. And you know what the Bible says he was? He was. And even so, that Daniel began to get promoted in Babylon. And so did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But why do we see this story in the scriptures? Is because it tells us you do not have to follow the world you live in. I wish I could get a church to understand this. I wish I could get a family that will stand up against unrighteousness. I wish I could get a single person that would start having standards based on the word, not the friends they hang out with. Are you guys tracking with me today? It's like what's read in 1 Peter. Go to 1 Peter 2, 11 through 12. Peter's writing this. He says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims. What is that? He means as people that are passing through. I beg you as people passing through this world, in other words. Look what he says. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. What is he saying here? He's saying this, live right. Live right. Live right. Learn how to follow your spirit, not your fleshly lusts. Eddie Cobb, can you come down here for me real quick? If I could get Jose, come on over here, Jose. Corona, stand up right here. And let's see if I could get... I need some other help. You good. I got you. Let me see. I need one more person. You don't even know what I'm looking for. It wouldn't work with you. Come on, Jessica. Come on over here. All right. So stand over here. I appreciate your eagerness, though. But listen, so here's the situation that most of us are in, and you need to catch this today. Because if you catch this today, we could change your life. How many of you want to change your life? Not everybody. That's all right. Some of you think you got it all together. But for those that want to change your life, I want you to listen to this. So Peter is telling us here, I beg you to abstain from your fleshly lust. What is fleshly lust? The lust of the flesh is basically the voice of the flesh. And for this illustration, we're going to call Eddie Cobb the voice of the flesh. Please do not judge him. Amen. Don't tease him when we leave here. Hey, Flash, come over here. No, don't do that. Don't curse him like that, but you'll see why I picked him. So he's the voice of the flesh. My man Jose here, who is noticeably smaller than the flesh, also has a voice, but his voice is the voice of the soul. Everybody say soul. Or say it like the soul train. Soul. Amen. So he's the voice of the soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Amen. You ever been around somebody that was high drama? Anybody? Yeah, look straight ahead. You sit next to him. I know. High drama people, this is usually what leads their life. Mind, will, emotions. You know, they're always hurt about something. This don't feel right. You know, how many know what I'm talking about? The mind, the will, and the emotions. You got emotional people led by this guy. And then there's the intellect. Intellectual people, see, we tend to celebrate that a lot in our world. But it's good. It's a good gift. But anything outside of the hands of God can be used as a weakness. So intellectual people are people that overthink. You got some overthinkers in the house? You know, well, I don't know. I don't know what we should do. I don't know how this is going to work. But I know it says that, but you know what I'm saying? Overthinkers? That's this voice right here, okay? The mind, the will, and the emotions right here. And then this voice, this petite little thing right over here. Aw. Que puri. She is the spirit. It's the spirit, okay? The Bible is very clear that every believer is a three-pronged being, just like God. Remember, Father, Son, Holy Ghost? You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. That's the proper order. But without Christ, this is what you're limited to right here. But when you come to Christ, guess what begins to pop up? A spirit. That's why the Bible says you must be born again. So when you're born again, guess what you get? A spirit. But is your spirit as big as these two? It's not. The Bible's very clear that there are levels to this thing, okay? That when you're born again, Paul said, you're still as little babes. You drink the milk of the word. Because when we're all born again, your spirit is little. It's tiny. Amen? Tiny like Jessica right here. Okay. She's got heels on. I was going to make you take them off to illustrate this a little more. And then you'll see she's like, right around here. So track with me here. So this is our problem, okay? So we come to church, we're feeling all good, I'm a Christian now, but we got a problem because who's in charge of the train is usually one of these two. And what does the flesh want? We talked about this last week. The flesh wants to eat and drink, be entertained, have sex and sleep. That's it. That's all. That is the only thing your flesh wants to do. Eat and drink. Entertain, be entertained, have sex, and sleep. Amen? And some of you, I just described your father. I just described your Theo. I just described somebody. Why? People exist because this is all they listen to. This will cause you to be an alcoholic. This will cause you to be obese. This will cause you to be a weed head, an addict. That's what this, you follow this, that's what this will lead you to. Pornography, all that kind of stuff. But here's the thing. He's in all of us. Look at your neighbor. That's in there. Amen? All we have to do is change what voice is in charge. Okay? How do we get this little Miha right here to be able to overcome these two things? I'm glad you asked. The way we tend to our spirit is we've got to cause it to grow. Amen? We got to cause it to grow. But most of us, can we just be honest? We don't pay any attention to our spirit, except from 10 o'clock to 11:45 on Sundays. For that moment, dun 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 dun, your spirit is in charge, so you think. And it's here, and you're feeling all good. But guess what? When service is over, get on back over there, spirit. And you come on up. You're back to this. So in church, you hear words like abstain from fleshly lusts and don't do those things and quit doing this and live for God. And your spirit's over here going, yeah. But when you walk out of here and temptation comes, and you're either going to pray or sleep. Come on over here, spirit. Face off. There's no chance. There's no chance. Not a chance. I could be the best preacher. You could be at the best church with the best music. This ain't winning. Go on back over there, spirit. It's not winning. And so what do we have? We have a bunch of frustrated Christians. We have what Paul preached about, and he said, although I want to do the right thing, I find myself doing the wrong. What is he talking about? He's talking about this. He's talking about people not taking care of the Spirit so that they can follow the Spirit. Are you guys seeing this? And so this is your frustration. You don't need a new church. You don't need a new preacher. You don't need, it's this, it's that. No, you know what it is? You got to give some time to building up your spirit. Because if you're going to be in the world but not of it, we got to get the Spirit in charge. Are you guys seeing this? Now stay up here, guys. Go to the next scripture here. Romans 8, 1 through 4. It says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Here it is. Who do not walk according to Eddie Cobb, I mean the flesh, but according to Jessica, the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So here's what it's saying. As long as I'm following my spirit, there's life. If I follow the flesh, it leads me to death. Keep reading. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, in account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Here it is, that do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. You want to know how Christianity becomes fun? You want to know how your dreams come true? You want to know how you have a good marriage, raise some good kids, make some money, live a good life? Quit following this joker right here. Stop it. And here's the problem. Here's the problem. The majority of us in this room, that's who we follow. But here's the thing. If we can learn to follow this, we get freedom from sin. That means your addictions get taken control of. Your addictions are gone. They're crucified. You don't got to go back. Amen? You ain't got to go back. We can say no to things. Amen? But we got to follow this. Put that next scripture on the screen. Are you guys seeing this today? So look at Romans 8, 5 through 9. It says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. How many want to change lives? How many want to help people? How many want to see your kids grow strong? We got to leave following the flesh. That's why I say this, man. That's why I was talking about the thing of believers going to clubs. What? Why? Believers still drinking, smoking weed. Why? What is that about? It leads to death. It's not doing anything. Yeah, but it's not wrong. It's not a sin. This is not a sin or an unsin issue. It's an obedience thing. It's, do you want to be great or do you want to stay mediocre? Do you want to possess your best life or do you want to stay in wilderness? That's what I'm trying to preach to you. Carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Spiritual mindedness will get you off them meds. Got real quiet. But it will. It will. I got to take these meds. I can't sleep at night. Follow the Spirit. Ooh, you'll see the peace that'll come over your life. But Pastor, I got high anxiety. Please, I'm not trying to condemn anybody that has anxiety, but I'm just reading the Bible to you, and anxiety can be taken care of if you live by your Spirit. What is Jesus' name? The Prince of Peace. It don't make no kind of sense that his followers don't have it. If he's the Prince of Peace, and I'm his son and his follower, guess what I should have? Peace. Tell your neighbor, peace. Okay, Let's keep going. Because the carnal mind, is an enemy against God. And it is subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Here's the thing. Your natural mind doesn't like God. It doesn't like God. This guy in the middle right here, remember the soul, the mind, will, and emotions? He's not all about, he's not going to help you serve God. You know what he wants to do? He wants to walk with this cat right here. He don't want to, that's what the scriptures say, the carnal mind. So now let's talk about the soul. What is the soul? What is your mind and your will and your emotions? Your mind and your will, and I've talked to this before, but you need to hear this. This thing here is simply the computer. This is the true you, your spirit. This is the house you live in. This is the computer, the Google system that runs it all. You know, Google, you could turn off your lights from work. You guys don't talk. Put the heater on from work on your phone. That's the Google system. Amen? Not the Google system, the Google system. Somebody still thought the Google. Get us Google. Google, okay. So this is the mind. But here's the thing. The mind alone, it ain't never going to push you towards God. That's why when you get up on Sunday, some of you can't come every Sunday. You lose that battle. Smile at me. Amen. Oh, I picked the wrong Sunday to be here. No, you picked the right Sunday. Because, see, when you get up, you ain't ever going to feel like getting dressed and coming to the house of God. Until, let's keep reading, okay? Nor it can be. So then those who are in the flesh, listen, they cannot please God. Whoa. You mean as long as I follow my flesh and my mind, I'm never going to please God? That's right. That's what the Bible says. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh. Remember, this is, again, the writer of Romans is trying to remind you, Doug, who you are, because you'd be forgetting. Don't we forget sometimes? Come on, we all do it. You get into an argument with your family about something dumb, and you go to forgetting that you're a son of the king. And the next thing you're all, what? Really? You? That ain't you. Somebody cuts you off at Walmart, takes that last cereal box, and you forget who you are. Do they still do that when they fight? Remember back in the day? Yeah. They still do that? They still do that? My son's like, I don't have time. That's how we got down back in the day, right? Okay, let me finish this. So, look, it says here, so if indeed, but you are not of the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. So here's the problem. This guy wants to follow this guy, but now you're born again. You got this nice little beautiful spirit right here. She looks good, but she can't take on those two. Go to the next scripture there. So here's what Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 says. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many want to be in the will of God? How many want to do the will of God? How many know that God's will for your life is better than your will? This is how we get it. We got to renew the mind. We got to renew the mind. We got to renew the mind. What do we do to renew the mind? First, you got to present this body as a living sacrifice. You know what that means? You tell your flesh, flesh, there's certain things I ain't doing no more. I wish some of us would do that. Because you know what we try to do? We try to serve God, but change nothing. And then we want to say, well, God's grace just covers it. Do you remember the situation when Jesus found the woman who was caught in adultery? And the Pharisees were going to stone her? And they brought her to Jesus. And they said, This girl's been sleeping around. The law says we need to kill her. Jesus looks up and he says, y'all ain't gonna kill her. He who has no sin cast the first stone. What he was saying is this, y'all ain't gonna kill her because y'all got dirt too. And they put down the rocks. But the story doesn't end there. He then looks at the woman and he says, your sins are forgiven. But that's not all he says. Now he says, now go and sin no more. We got people that just, oh, my sins are forgiven. But you forget the second part, baby. Baby, you're forgetting the second part. Your sins are forgiven, now go and sin no more. So what is happening there? Jesus is saying, don't listen to the flesh no more. There's some things you got to not do. Amen? Amen? Now, they're different for everybody. But you got to tell your flesh, we ain't doing that no more. We ain't drinking no more. We ain't smoking no more. We're not going to my tia Tencha's house no more on a Friday night when they've got the carne asada going. We're not doing that no more. Amen? But they're my family. It doesn't matter. We ain't doing it. We ain't having sex no more until there's a ring on it. Come on, ladies. See, if you're not willing to do that, then you stay following that. Is this okay? Amen? Are you guys catching this? Because we're interested in becoming, falling and coming into the will of God. So he calls presenting your body as a living sacrifice. And this is where we lose folks. They don't want to sacrifice nothing. Okay? Make no bones about it. Serving God requires a sacrifice. Now, Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, but if you're going to serve God, you're going to get in the world, you're going to sacrifice some stuff. So what does a sacrifice? It hurts. Tell your neighbor, ouch. Or if you're Latino, ay. Right? It's going to hurt. So in raising our kids at home, we make it real clear to them. Son, I know everybody's doing it, but we don't do that. We don't go there. Now, we're sensitive. It hurts. It hurts. You know, my kids are like, dang, this sucks, man. Why everybody else get to do this and that? And, but you know, we're trying to teach them. There's some sacrifice involved. Amen? I wish somebody would learn how to sacrifice their flesh from time to time. You're going to have to say no to folks. You're going to have to say, we don't do that. I don't get down like that. That's a living sacrifice. Let me keep going. I'm almost done. So then, these guys are getting tired up here too. Thank you, fellas, and thank you, Jessica. But look at it says up here, living sacrifice, holy, acceptable under God. Because this, look at, that's your reasonable service. In other words, it's this. It makes all the sense in the world that you follow God. You don't deserve heaven, yet you get it. You don't deserve his presence, yet he gives it to you. You deserve hell. You deserve death for some of the stuff that some of us have done according to the law. The mistakes you've made, the things you've done. You don't deserve any of it. But grace comes and gives you the best life, gives you his presence. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He gives you eternity with him. So the Bible says it only makes sense. It's the reasonable thing to sacrifice your bodies. It's the reasonable thing to actually live for him, to tell your boyfriend, no ringy, no thingy. Amen. All right. It makes sense. It makes sense because of what I get. I get salvation. I get God. I get Jesus. Are you guys tracking with me? It makes sense. That's what the Bible is saying here. But see, listen, your carnal mind will never get down with it. So what has to happen? We got to be transformed. Everybody say transformed. Anybody seen the movies Transformers? That's what needs to happen to you. You got to get anyways. All right. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the spirit and the flesh, the Bible says they're at war. They're at war. He don't like God. He don't want nothing to do with God. He wants to eat and drink, sleep, have sex, and be entertained. That's all he wants to do. He wants to be on that PS4 for 8 hours. Even though he's 32, he wants to do that. He wants to just sit and eat hot dogs and drink, eat Cheetos and 2 liters of Pepsi. That's all he wants. Not you personally. He's like, Damn, Pastor, you're reading my mail. No, he's a vegetarian. He's a vegetarian. So listen, that's all it wants. This little thing here wants to pray. It wants the Bible. It wants to go to church. This guy right here, he wants to do this because for 20, how old are you? 26 years, that's all he knows, to follow that. But last year, Jose gave his life to Jesus. Amen. And this thing came alive. Yes. It's now his responsibility to build up this voice. And now to renew the mind. Yes. That means this, I got to learn a new way of thinking. I got to learn a new way of talking. I got to learn a new language. I got to learn how to do this thing. And every time he steps into it, this thing's going to fight him on it. It's going to fight him. It's going to resist it. Are you guys tracking with me here? And this thing's going to shout, but we got to get this thing stronger until, come on over here, Eddie, transformation takes place. And now this is the spirit. Oh, this is the spirit now. No offense to Jessica, but I'd rather have this take on the devil. I'd rather have this going on the mission field. I'd rather have this praying for your sick uncle. No offense, but we got to get the spirit here. And you know how we do it? This is the key. Changing our thoughts. I'm going to stop right there today. Go ahead and stand on your feet. Thank you, guys. Give it up for him. Amen. Listen, we're going somewhere with this thing. But some of us here, we need to make a decision. And I took time today to let you know, if you're going to dominate this life, you got to do it from a place of being out of it. See, there's a lie that the enemy uses and he tells the church that in order to win the world, you got to be like the world. Wrong. It's wrong. So many examples of it. Look at the story of Joseph. Joseph was known as a deliverer. Before he could deliver Israel, his family, God sends him out of the family into Egypt. He come, and through that experience of leaving it, he is then able to come back and be its deliverer. Moses was raised in the temples of Egypt. He learned all the world's ways. He learned business. He learned architecture. He learned how the Egyptian mind thought. Before he could be a deliverer, God says to him, I got to take you out of Egypt, and I got to get Egypt out of you. And he takes Moses into the wilderness for 40 years to get Egypt out of him. Once Egypt was out of him, Moses went back and delivered over 1 million Hebrew people from their slavery. But the principle is this, you got to come out and then go back in. And I got too many folks. You're playing footsies with the world. You're flirting with the world. You think it's not going to harm you. You think it's your friend. And I could preach all this stuff, but as long as you're living in that carnal mind, you're going to walk out of here and not be changed. That's scary. The reason it's scary, because we just read the carnal mind leads to death. Leads to death. Death to your marriage. Death to your mentality. The will of God. Your best life. Listen, we need to learn how to be in the world, but not of it. And in order to do that, we got to change our thoughts. We're on a journey. That word crossing over from last month, that's more than a word. That is a prophetic declaration. I believe I'm looking at a people, listen to me now, that you're going to be different in 1 year. In a year, everything is going to change. Your relationships are going to change. Your financial status is going to change. Your life experience is going to change in 1 year. But you're going to have to divorce this world. You're going to have to reject this world and embrace the new creation reality. You are a new creature in Christ. Bow your heads for a moment. Because there's some of you here today. You left the pattern. You've left the pattern. You start listening to your mind and your flesh is always hurt with somebody. always mad at somebody, always offended. Your flesh is always telling you, you don't need to follow nobody. You don't need discipleship. You don't need this. You don't need that. That's the carnal mind. Today needs to be the day that you divorce from that. And let this be the day that we begin to shift your focus to follow the Spirit. Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.